On this Devil's Night 2019, we bring you the top 10 songs of all time about the Prince of Darkness himself, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan, a.k.a. the Devil.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Devil's Night 2019 edition. Welcome, everybody. We've got Lily V6 with us tonight, looking her most devilly, her most devilish.
Wow. This isn't the worst I could have gone.
So, it's going to be a good show. We're going to be counting down the top 10 songs. I don't know. We might do 12,
we're probably going to go over.
Whatever. About the devil. The Prince of Darkness, Beelzebub, Satan,
whatever
your
you're
pet
call
name is for your Lord and Savior.
Daddy.
Daddy. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com is the website. Lots of cool stuff happening there. Check back often for that. The other thing I want to tell you about is our private area. If you want to dig a little deeper, doesn't cost anything. Just go to LuLombardiRocks.com. Click the little, you'll see, it's all very self-explanatory, and you get right into our private group. Great community of people who are just like you, really excited about great guitar-driven rock of really kind of all types. Hard rock, rock and roll, punk, alternative, of course, metal. I'm wearing my Burger Kill shirt. Saw Burger Kill this weekend. It was a great show, along with Suwaka, and we're going to be playing a little Burger Kill and Suwaka a little bit later on in the show. So guys, welcome. That's all the stuff, and I want to give a shout out to Wolf's Customs. Wolf's Customs, you know, there's no reason for you to be playing the same boring guitar as everybody else. Go take your Strat, your Telecaster, whatever you got, your Ibanez, your Jackson, whatever you're working on there, and send it out here. Get a hold of Chris Thunderwolf Dotson at wolfscustoms.online, and they do amazing custom painting on guitars, so you definitely want to check them out. That's wolfscustoms.online. So we've got Lily V6 now. It's Lily V6, what's going on with you?
Well, I went to two shows, one on Sunday where this guy opened for Burger Kill and Suwaka, and one yesterday, which was the 50th anniversary UFO tour / Last in Line opened, and it was amazing, and it was late. So
Last in Line, is that the family band?
No, that's the band with Vivian Campbell.
Okay.
And the guy, Andrew Freeman, who sings just like Dio, by the way. But they were awesome, totally metal.
They didn't do a Dio hologram or anything.
No, they didn't do that. No.
Because I've
they
heard
didn't
that,
need one.
I've he heard. Great. I've heard that, you know, there's this thing, this possibility of a Dio tour with a Dio hologram.
I think it's out. I think it's out on tour right now.
And
I'm curious. I'd like to see it. I think, but it's not coming anywhere around here.
I'd be happy to just watch a YouTube video of it.
Right.
I don't need. I just think, oh God, it just seems cheesy as all get out, man. I just that's just not my scene.
I'm curious as to what
I can see that.
And then Saturday
Are you bi curious?
No, I told you I can't do that stuff. Not into it. However,
I'm tri curious.
Of course you are. Saturday I am going to go see Vixen and Winger together. So exciting stuff, and that's going to be
living on the edge of a broken heart
in Buffalo.
Waterfall. Oh, I was going to go with you, but I guess I can't.
No.
Okay. All right, guys. We're going to get into it here. We are going to open the show up with a band. Which band are we going to start with? Let's start with Suwaka. This is a track called Destroyer. They played this at the show on Sunday night. It was a great show. You guys missed it. Like, just when these guys, Burger Kill and Suwaka, are huge, I'm going to be able to say I saw them like
first
in a place for like with like in front of 10 people,
yeah,
and I opened. So, anyways, guys, here it is, Destroyer, Suwaka on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
We'll be right back.
from New York City, originally from Indonesia. And we're going to play Burger Kill in a little bit. And they are Indonesia as well. So Indonesia was representing in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. And my band, 20,000, we're temporarily called 20,000 Metal Dicks.
Temporarily.
All we can think of is like pervy, like,
that's because you're a bunch of guys.
Like, Jared's like, I got a band name. He texted me. It's like, it's Dick Splitter.
I liked Fistful of Assholes. That's the one I always pick.
Assful of fist heads or something. I don't know. But we got it. Maybe it'd be Fistful of Assholes. I could, maybe. I'll text it to the guys and see what
they'll laugh. They'll be like,
but,
no.
But, I mean, we're looking for, like, a good name. We need, like, a really killer name. Because if you have a killer name, then that, like, fills in all the marketing. And then like, figuring out what the logo and all that, it becomes super easy. So, help us out. You got some good band names trying to throw us at us. We aren't metal. Okay, then. We are more like an alternative hard rock kind of sound.
But they sound awesome.
We do sound good. We are a good band, and thank you very much for that, Lily. Suwaka, let me give you guys the down low on Suwaka here. You may find Suwaka at suwakatribe.com.
That's easy enough.
Tribe. They have their own tribe. I love it. Great band. Super friendly dudes. Just awesome. Really had a good time. So suwakatribe.com. Check them out. Okay, we are talking. Let's get into it. The devil. Yes. Do you want to know a little bit about, before you get into our countdown, you know a little bit about the origins of the devil in rock music?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, do you guys want to know a little wee bit about this? I really, for some reason, I don't know why, but this topic just really kind of rang my bell. I grew up in an evangelical Christian upbringing, and rock music was forbidden. It was the devil's music. But this idea that certain music could be evil or the devil's music is not a new thing. There was classical music that, you know, people that the church had condemned. There's big band music. Let's see here. Saxophones, when they first came over, viewed as with suspicion. It was a scandalous instrument. It was banned by Pope Pius X in 1903.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Wow, I did not know that. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
because they were used to belt out jazz that aroused lewd dancing.
Makes me want to listen to that 80s music with saxophones.
Provoked alarm and outrage. The devil knew how to tempt, after all, with an apple or a sexy rhythm.
Mm.
And for a time in the 20s, jazz was banned in hundreds of public dance halls.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was, anytime anything happened, you know, the experts are blaming the new jazz. Syncopated rhythms cause trouble. No one knows for sure. 18th century clerics said that the devil has the best tunes, some of which you will find in our playlist tonight as we talk about it. But Jelly Roll Morton had recorded a devil-related song called Boogaboo. Classical music had aroused a consternation over Danse Macabre and Immoral Symphonies. Now, I want you guys to listen. I'm gonna turn off the background music for a minute. I want you guys to listen to this. This is a piece called Sonata in G Minor. Mm. So it's called The Devil's Trill.
I know this.
By Giuseppe Tartini. Now, I want you guys to give this one a little bit of a listen here. I got to turn off the background music because you guys won't be able to hear it. Classical music is, unlike pop music, has dynamics. And if you... it requires very close listening. So let's go ahead and check this out. Tartini's Violin Sonata Number 1 in G Minor. I I don't know. Does that sound evil to any of you guys out there?
I can see why it could be evil.
It's in a minor key. Doesn't necessarily make it evil. A Venetian composer, Giuseppe Tartini, one of a number of composers who used this musical interval called a tritone, which is a musical interval that goes across three entire whole notes. It was branded a Diabolus in Musica, or the Devil's Interval. These dissonant chords reappear in heavy metal music by bands like Slayer, Black Sabbath, and even the edgy theme to The Simpsons uses this musical interval. Interval in music, guys, just means the space between the notes. Most people, when you say interval, they're thinking of interval of time. This is the space between the notes. In the documentary film Heavy Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, producer Bob Ezrin, who's worked with Alice Cooper, Kiss, Deep Purple, said, "There is something very sexual about the tritone. It apparently was the sound used to call up the beast."
I knew you were going to do that.
The legend of how the king of the Delta blues, Robert Johnson, earned his and retained his potent inspiration or power as a blues artist. This was kind of accentuated and exaggerated in the 1986 film by Walter Hill called Crossroads.
Such a good movie.
Original score by Ry Cooder also features legendary blues man Sonny Terry on harmonica. The plot line of a blues guitarist selling his soul is also part of the Coen Brothers movie Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and provide the inspiration for the 1979 hit song The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie Daniels Band. This is when people don't, this goes back to our origins as a species on the planet. When we don't understand something or something is new or different, we blame the gods.
Poor
or
guy.
The devil.
He always gets
or
bad
whatever,
rap.
Or whatever. So this is not anything new that we've been doing. It has proved attractive for musicians to claim, with varying degrees of seriousness, that they also made their own deal with the devil. John Lennon told a press conference that the reason the Beatles were so successful was that he had sold his soul, and Katy Perry, Easy E are among those who've made the same claim. Bon Jovi even told a teen pop magazine, Smash Hits, that I'd kill my mother for rock and roll and I would sell my soul.
And the devil said no, so that's why you're Bon Jovi.
However, not all rock stars, are alarming. You know, it would have been hard to see Bill Haley in his middle-aged band as part of a devil's covert army. But as music changed and darkened in the 60s, the bands became more raw and edgy. And the link between music and Satanism reached a new height. Gone were the days of West Side Story sing-alongs. Maria, you know, I met a, you know, whatever. The world was entering a volatile era of Charles Manson and the communes and things like that. Manson incidentally released his own Bizarre Records, by the way, if some of you guys know that. John Lennon and his fellow Beatles were still at a primary school when notorious occult figure Aleister Crowley died in Hastings in 47. But the so-called wickedest man on the planet cast a long shadow after his death. Crowley appeared as one of the faces on Peter Blake's iconic cover for the 1967 album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It was in that same year that the Rolling Stones released the album called Their Satanic Majesty's Request, the first time the Prince of Darkness had been summoned in the title of a major rock release. It was predominantly Jagger who dabbled in reading about the occult. He read things like the Taoist Secret of the Golden Flower. Keith Richards, who created a defining moment in music relationship with the devil in 69 when they cut Sympathy for the Devil. And the song, which originally had the less memorable working title of The Devil Is My Name, the Stones imagined Satan's appearance in crucial moments in history. This was shocking for the times, guys. We've all grown up. We've had 40 years of rock and roll since then with all kind of things that have happened and bands that have come out and Knights in Satan's Service and all this insanity. So, but at the time, something like that coming out at that era really freaked people out and freaked parents out. And I think that it was one of the reasons why the Stones did that. It was like, how bad could we be? Oh, we'll play with the devil, and that'll even really get people's crowd, because they were the bad boys of rock and roll. Playing up the satanic image, Jagger performed the song on the concert film The Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus while shirtless and covered in fake devil tattoos. There were also claims that the Church of Satan used the song, which has been covered by artists as diverse as Sandy Shaw, Brian Ferry, Motorhead, and Guns N' Roses, as an anthem. But Jagger's girlfriend at the time, the singer Marianne Faithfull, said that many people miss the complexity and irony of lyrics, which I totally agree with here. Mick never, for one moment, believed that he was Lucifer. Right, and if you listen to the song is a kind of like finger-pointing song about all the sort of atrocities that happened in history with a sort of like devil kind of like looking on. Crawley was a major influence on David Bowie. Ever since David Bowie was young, he liked to mess around with tarot cards. He performed exorcism rituals. He paid tribute to Crawley in his 71 song, Quicksand. While in 76, he admitted to Rolling Stone, "Rock has always been the devil's music. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves." Bowie's Ziggy Stardust character is perhaps popular in music's most potent embodiment of the archetype of the dying god, and the musician continued his interest in mysticism right up to his death in 2016. But Bowie's fascination with what he called the dark Neverworld almost pales with that. And this is where we're going to stop and get into the countdown here with Jimmy Page. So this is what I wanted to get into right here. Jimmy Page reportedly attended seances, collected all occult artifacts, and even in the year that Bowie released Quicksand, purchased Boltskine House, which is Crowley's former home on the shores of Lake Loch Ness. So you've got Aleister Crowley on the shores of Loch Ness. So, like, you go ahead and put that together yourself. In Scotland, Page's interest in the occult led to accusations that Led Zeppelin were in a satanic band. While songs such as Houses of the Holy addressed the subject of the devil directly, Page once said that mixing in satanic influences was like an alchemical process. But in 2007, the songwriter guitarist, then at the age of 63, told Guitar World that he didn't like to speak about the occult anymore because the more you discuss it, the more eccentric you appear. So we're just going to leave that discussion right there for now. I just wanted to give a little preamble and a little background that there is a history. And some of the younger folks watching may not realize that this idea of the devil being in music is just, it's colored music throughout the centuries. And since we've had modern media, TV, magazines, records, things like that, it has like really exploded. And we have it documented now. You can go back and listen to these things. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that. We'll talk about Ozzy and things like that a little bit later on. So we do have a countdown tonight of songs about the devil. Lily, Lily is our countdown queen. So Lily, who do you got here? What's on your list? Are these any kind of order? Or are they just?
No, I'm just reading them out.
Okay.
So we already talked about, or you already talked about this a little bit, but "Sympathy for the Devil" by the Rolling Stones. On the 1968 album Beggar's Banquet, Mick sings this in the first-person narrative as the devil. And he said the influence came from Baldur, a French poet, and from the Russian author Mikhail Bulgakov's novel The Master and the Margarita. It was covered by Guns N' Roses for the Interview with the Vampire soundtrack, and Motorhead covered it on the 2015 album Bad Magic, and Ozzy covered it on the 2005 album Undercover. So it was a pretty popular song to be covered by.
It is a rock classic.
Yes.
It's a rock classic for a reason. First of all, it's a killer song. Second of all, the lyrics are very intriguing. And I pondered those lyrics for many, many years myself. I find them absolutely fascinating. I think it's one of the best compositions ever. And I would argue that it is one of the best guitar solos on a Rolling Stones song ever. That guitar solo and his tone on that are just dynamite. Knocks me out. 40 years later, it still blows my mind. "Sympathy for the Devil." Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and right. Taste. Couldn't have said it any better myself, Mick and Keith. So, what's next?
We have to have this on the list. The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie Daniels Band, released on the 1979 album Million Mile Reflections. It's about the devil's failed attempt to steal a young man's soul through a fiddle-playing contest that involved enticing the young man's participation using a worldly prize, which is the golden fiddle, of course. The Muppets covered the song on The Muppet Show with guest star Alan Arkin in 1980. Alvin and the Chipmunks covered it on the 1981 album Urban Chipmunk, and Primus covered it on the 1998 Rhinoplasty EP.
I want to mention that the Primus version has an amazing video done with stop motion animation.
Yes.
That is just killer. And if you're looking for something to put on at Halloween for your party, you're having a Halloween party or whatever. Maybe you're having a Halloween party tonight and afterwards. Pull this up on your Fire Stick or your Roku or whatever. And play it for your friends. Everybody will freaking love it. We're very, very well done. Sounds awesome. Rocks hard as you know what. And just a really great track. But I remember that song when it was brand new. That's how old I am. And I was completely fascinated by it. I have always been a big fan of rock lyrics. And one of the reasons I do a weekly show called Lyric Talk, and maybe I'll do a show on Sympathy for the Devil. Excuse me. Devil Went Down to Georgia. I do one on Sympathy for the Devil too.
Yeah.
But the song "Devil Went Down to Georgia" is a story. It's a narrative. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and the music plays in with that absolutely perfect. There's the devil's jam. There's Johnny's jam. And I always have personally have to say, and I think most people agree, that the devil's... I always thought, like, here's my first reaction to the song. When I heard the song and I heard devil and then I heard Johnny, my reaction was, oh, wow. Well, Johnny, it looks like you're screwed because the devil's jam was... that kicked ass. Like, you didn't, you know. And then when it came back, that the devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. I was like, what?
That devil's weak.
Get the hell out of here. The devil kicked Johnny's ass. I called shenanigans, and I still call shenanigans. Go back and listen to that. That guitar during that thing with that chicka-chicka thing and that bass line. That's amazing. Sorry, Johnny. Sorry, you're giving your soul to the devil. Just saying. So what do you got next?
The next one on my list is Running with the Devil by Van Halen. It's the second single from Van Halen's 1978 debut album, Van Halen.
What was the first single?
Oh, shit. Why do you ask me questions like that? The song was inspired by the Ohio Players song Running from the Devil, named the ninth greatest hard rock song of all time by VH1, and it's usually interpreted as being about the life of a touring young band, not really the devil.
Not technically about the devil. So this should be like an honorable mention and not like really a song.
Yeah, whatever.
shouldn't be on the list. But it is a great song. The riff is... What Makes This Riff Great or something like that. I did a podcast on this riff that you guys can go out there and find. Just absolutely amazing. That's just the first thing I ever heard by Van Halen was this song. And it hooked instantly. It's like... this is the greatest thing I have ever heard. I was like, oh my God. Like, what is this?
Blew my mind.
It's amazing. Vocals, lyrics. And it is about life on the road, life in rock and roll, and how, you know, you sort of feel like you're kind of being chased by this thing. So what do you got next?
The next one on my list is Devil Inside by NXS.
You're surprising me. I thought this one.
Released as a single in 1988, the song was most successful in the U.S., charting at number 2 for 2 weeks. Kirk Pengilly, the guitarist and the saxophonist, stated that he did not like the music video because it was too American. They're from Australia, if you didn't know that. The song was featured in the movie Rockstar and the TV show Hindsight. But I do love me some Michael Hutchins.
I have told my NXS story many times, so I won't tell it again. It's a very cool song, great band. Sad story, though, about Michael Hutchins.
Yes, but it's very sad.
Killer band.
Poor guy.
Speaking of great bands, this is Burger Kill. We're going to come back after a little Burger Kill and talk a little bit more about the top 10 songs about the devil. Happy Devil's Night, everybody. What are you doing for Devil's Night? How are you celebrating Devil's Night? Let us know in the comments. We'll talk to you here after some Burger Kill.
Because
Burger Kill, everybody. And let me give you a little how you can get a Burger Kill for your folks. And that Lou Lombardi, he always insists on trying to play his songs.
Look at that guy go.
Burger Kill, let me give you the... where are we here? Okay, you can go to burgerkill.bandcamp.com. They're on the band. They do have a Burger Kill official, but it is not... It's like in progress. It's not together. So just go to burgerkill.bandcamp.com. You can find them. We open the show with Suwaka, suwakatribe.com. We're going to be playing some Silk Nine here in a few minutes. Silk Nine. That was a great band.
They're a good band.
A great band. So we're going to talk about those guys too. So we are talking about Songs of the Devil. We did a Facebook post. Let's do that at the end. So because I don't want to overlap with your list. I know. Okay. I don't want to. Because we still Lily's Thunder and it's like.
then it's Lily like, gets know, mad.
Yeah. Well, it's just not that. It just kind of like takes away from what we're doing. So
blah, blah, blah.
What do you got?
Well, I'm going to read some of the comments.
Some shout out, Cal. Okay.
So Bill Damiano's watching. Raven Dotson's watching. She did a little skeleton pumpkin emoji thing. Alan Spangler said Grundle Butter for your band name.
Grundle Butter.
And Chris Thunderwolf said Super Band Waistband.
Let's just call ourselves the Underoos.
Ron Pohl's watching, John Rasso's watching, and Sean King, and I said all the other people, and I lost some comments because I did move away from Facebook real quick to check something. So I'm sorry if I missed your comment.
Comment again. Yes. And share, because when you share, what you do is you do help the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, but you get the word out about the bands we play. So these bands aren't like, you know, they're not on the radio and stuff like that. So this is where they get an outlet. So if you're digging what we're doing, share the podcast and your friends will know like how you're up on the absolute coolest new music out there. I'm just saying. shout out to Chris Thunderwolf Dotson. Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online and get yourself a custom job on your guitar. Not a custom blow job.
Wouldn't that be something?
No, can we sell custom blowjobs?
All right.
Custom paint job on your guitar. So what do you got next, Lil, on
so,
your list?
Of course, I have to mention this band every single time the podcast happens, but the next song is The Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. Seventh single release total and the second single from the 1982 album of the same name. It was inspired by a nightmare that Steve Harris had after watching the movie Damien, Omen 2. Of course, the song caused controversy in the United States amongst religious groups because of the name of it, clearly. However, it does remain one of the band's most popular songs. It has been performed at almost every Iron Maiden show live, and it has also been covered several times. A couple examples are Iced Earth, Powderfinger, the Iron Maidens, among others. And I love Iron Maiden because they are God. And apparently the devil.
The first song by Iron Maiden I believe I ever heard was Flight of Icarus. Mm-hmm. The second song was Number of the Beast.
Which is a great song.
And, oh, I loved it. It is such a great song. What they do melodically. What's interesting is it's a lot of the beginning, the verses are in a major key. I was alone to do. You know, that whole thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kind of what you expect, but it still sounds very like kind of majestic and scary. And of course, there's the beginning, the thing at the beginning where they read. I believe that's a passage from Revelation. And when I was young, I imagined that was Vincent Price reading. It's not. That's not Vincent Price reading that. It would be very cool.
It would be very cool.
It would be very cool if it was Vincent Price.
I'd be very surprised if they didn't ask him to do it.
And you young whippersnappers who don't know who Vincent Price is.
Shame on you.
Go look at it. Google it.
Yeah, you have the Google machines now. Wikipedia.
I don't really know what else to say except the song blew my mind. I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. Pittsburgh radio played it like... they had to play it like after midnight, like... I heard it on the Metal Shop. There was a show on DVE that came on after midnight on Sundays called the Metal Shop, and you would hear bands like Steeler, Iron Maiden, bands like that. Except that was the first time I heard Balls to the Wall was on that show. But that was it. I mean, I couldn't hear them enough. So I loved them, but I just couldn't hear that nobody would play them. And we didn't have, I lived out in the sticks and we didn't have cable. So I didn't get MTV or anything for a long time later. But just a dynamite piece of music. And that intro, there's a great documentary about them. But it's actually the Behind the Music documentary about them. That was very, very difficult to get that rhythm with the guitar and then to bring the vocals in. They did it over, and I can't remember. They did it many, 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 like an exhausting number of times before they were actually able to nail that. It took a long time for them to get it together. It's an amazing piece of music. So what do you got next?
Next on my list, which is a band I don't really, it's one of my favorite bands, but I don't mention them a whole lot on the show. It's Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue, written by bassist Nikki Sixx. It's the title track off the album of the same name from 1983. It was also on the list of controversial songs among religious groups. It was re-recorded in for the 1997 album Generation Swine, titled Shout at the Devil 97. It was the entrance music for Brock Lesnar while in the UFC. According to the book The Dirt, if anybody's read that, not the movie, because it's not in the movie, but the book, it was originally called Shout with the Devil, but Nikki was experiencing some paranormal occurrences at his home and decided to change the title. So, yeah.
Shout. I have a paranormal experience that I will relate to you guys after the show. So if you guys go to lulombardirocks.com and get into the inner circle, we're going to do our after show, and I will tell my paranormal experience there. It was one of these. Shout at the Devil is one of the songs I absolutely loved, but just was terrified my parents were going to hear me listening to. But I loved it. It's got that beat and, you know, those lyrics, you know. Shout at the Devil. I mean, it's
actually one of my least favorite Motley Crue songs.
It's one of my absolute favorite Motley Crue songs. I love that song.
I mean, I like them all, but this is not on my top, like, 10 Motley Crue song list. It's still good. It's just not up there.
Yeah, great track. What year did that break?
83, I think.
83, yeah.
Yeah, 83.
They had that album with the pentagram. Mm-hmm.
And then they had to change it. Religion.
Yeah.
They make you do things.
Yeah. Okay, so what's next?
Next is Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson. Sort of has to be on the list. Was written in 1936. Has become part of the Robert Johnson mythology as referring to the place where he supposedly sold his soul to the devil in exchange for his musical talents. Later, Eric Clapton with Cream popularized the song as Crossroads in the late 60s. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame included it as one of the 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. And I think it's fascinating because of the story.
It's got a very cool story to it. The lyrics are slightly different. If you listen to Robert Johnson's version, it's got a different vibe. If you want to listen to a very haunted record, get Robert Johnson's King of the Delta Blues. It's a collection of all of his songs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think another song that we could put on this list that's definitely a song about the Dark Lord is Hellhound on My Trail. It's a song about somebody feeling like the devil is coming for them, like they are done, and they're just all they can do to hang on. Crossroads Blues, yes, rock people have redone Sweet Home Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, a song that a lot of people that has been redone. But when you hear these songs done by Robert Johnson, they all have this very haunting and haunted vibe to them. Even something like Sweet Home Chicago, when you listen to it, you're like, wow, this guy was dealing with some stuff. He was like,
he probably had
some stuff that was on his mind. And so the idea that, you know, extrapolating this idea that he had sold his soul to the devil, and the story goes that he was trying to be a guitar player, and he kept showing up at places, and everybody was like, he sucked. And then he disappeared and if you think about it, you didn't need to sell your soul to the devil. He disappeared for about a year and a half. Well, in a year and a half, really work on it, you can become a pretty... You can figure out the guitar. You know, especially, and I'm sure, I mean, he had obviously had natural ability. He had a passion for it. He wanted everybody to show. Anytime he would jam with other musicians, he was trying to pick up on what they were doing. So it isn't the I sold my soul to the devil. That's a kind of a cool thing that was actually more popularized by the movie by Walter Hill with Ralph Macchio. Than it was Crossroads. Then it really, that really brought that out and became a more of a thing because of that movie. I will just, I said this to somebody the other day, and I'm not ashamed to say this. I think that the Crossroads by Cream, I understand why people loved it when it came out. It's three of the most virtuoso musicians at the time reinterpreting in a great song. But I think it's terrible. I just got it going. I just think it's everybody soloing simultaneously. It's just I learned this for a band a few months ago, and so I kind of revisited it and listened to it. And Clapton's tone is amazing, and I it's very impassioned and powerful. And I get all that, but just him and Jack Bruce just sound like they're competing with each other throughout the whole song.
Of course they are.
And I just feel like I get why people dug it. They were jamming at the time, and everybody was hopped up on something. But No. They could have dialed all that way back and made a much more grooving track, in my opinion. What's next?
Next on my list is Deal with the Devil by Pop Evil. It's the second single from their 2013 album Onyx and the 11th single overall from the band. It's their second number one single following Trenches. They are the... this is the second part of a trilogy that deals with substance abuse and dependency. So in this case, the devil is the substance abuse and dependency. But I think it counts because I can understand. I can relate to that a little. So
who is I do not know this band.
Pop Evil. They're relatively new. They're a rock band, though. I forget where they're from. I've only seen them once, but they are pretty amazing.
Okay, give me something else.
I've got You're the Devil in Disguise by Elvis Presley. 1963 single written by Bill Giant, Bernie Baum, and Florence Kay. The song peaked to number three in the U.S. charts. The song is, of course, about a woman because men think women are the devil. it was covered by Trisha Yearwood in the movie Honeymoon in Vegas, and the Misfits covered the song on the extended edition of Project 1950.
Could also be a song about Elvis himself.
Yeah. Well, he usually sang it to a woman.
Because, right. But people were freaked out. And as I was bringing up earlier in the podcast, when I was introducing this idea, one of the things that freaked people out was they were afraid that it was looked at as white kids or white guys or white musicians playing black people's music. And in the 50s in America, I know everybody wants to make America great again, but listen, pay attention.
Calm down.
People were terrified of the races mixing. It was I knew somebody, and this was in my era even, and I was completely over it. This one, my parents weren't like this, even though they were very conservative. I know a girl told me her dad told her the worst thing she could ever do is get with a black guy. So that's the mentality that people had. People were freaked out. Oh my God. White kids are listening to black people's music. So it had to be the work of the devil, right? That was it. Obviously. And the worst thing that we could do is mix the races. I would just be like, oh my God, So there was the other side of this devil's music thing. Another aspect of it was this sort of race thing. I don't get political on the show at all. I'm just telling you history, that's just how it was. And when Elvis got up there, in fact, there were people who had not seen Elvis, who had just heard him, who thought that he was black. I don't know if you realize this. In fact,
yeah,
a lot of people, I remember my parents telling me that when they were young, because see, everybody now has YouTube and the internet, and you can Google something in like 2 seconds and know the whole story of it. In the 50s, you didn't know who was black, white, Jewish. You just didn't know. And so a lot of these artists that sang rock and roll were emulating black music because these guys grew up. Elvis would listen to late night AM stations and he would hear old blues. They also listened to a lot of music from south of the border as well. So they were bringing in all this other stuff, and that's what made it so exciting and so dangerous. And, you know, the two things fed each other. This sort of, like, fear of racial mixing or, you know, white kids listening to black people's music. And then the kids were getting off on the fact that they knew the parents were screwed up about this, so they wanted to play that up even more. So it was like this kind of snowball effect. It grew even more when the British invasion happened, because the Beatles really threw off this idea of what male masculinity was. To people at the time, that was long hair.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know.
And also, they didn't act the way typical Western ideal, the idea of the Western male acted. They didn't look that way. They didn't sound that way. They were sort of questioning all this. So, again, people were really tied to, when something is unfamiliar to you or seems new, the first thing that happens, you get afraid. And then fear usually turns into extreme aversion, or I'll use the word hate. And that is where so much of this idea of the devil being in music, being in rock music, because it was popular and kids were gravitating towards it. And kids were abandoning their traditional values in the favor of what the Beatles were telling them to do or what the Rolling Stones were telling them to do. So that is the sort of atmosphere where this whole thing fostered. And I think that later bands like Black Sabbath and, you know, Venom and these bands that eventually Judas Priest, I think they were wise to what was going on and they played up on it. Because all kids want to do their own thing. They want to do the opposite of what their parents are doing. So if your parents are going to church, you're going to worship the devil. Not literally, but you're going to buck that. And no, so this just fed this whole idea of the devil in music. Why are we talking so much about this? Because it's Devil's Night. Woo! Go Devil Night. And we're having a good time.
We don't worship the devil or anything.
Well, so you can speak for yourself. So, you know, Lily brought up Elvis, the devil in disguise. I wanted to kind of bring up, sort of fill you guys on the history. Somebody today called me a music anthropologist. I like that. So this is a little bit of that coming out. I hope you guys enjoy stuff like that. Please share the podcast if you haven't already. Let the world know about the great music we play here. Well, you got anything else on your list? What do you got, Lily?
I got my last one. Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. Song written for the 1975 album Night at the Opera. It's a 6-minute suite consisting of several sections without a chorus. If you don't know the song by now, I don't know who you are, obviously. But it's been said that one explanation, it's about a young man who has killed someone and sold his soul to the devil. On the night before his execution, he calls for God, saying Bismillah, which is, and with the help of the angels, regains his soul from Shaitan, which is the devil of Islam. No one actually knows the true meaning behind it because Freddie Mercury was very secretive about what it was about, didn't really talk about it much. But in any case, it mentions the devil several times in the song. It was revived in the movie Wayne's World, and the film version of the video, the film version of the music video won Queen its only MTV Video Music Award. So, pretty cool stuff. I counted that on my list.
I would not have thought of Bohemian Rhapsody as a song about the devil.
I know, right?
Okay.
But they do mention it
that
many times.
That is different. I know the devil has a... Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. says I references to hell and things like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. And
things to make you go,
And then I did have one as I walked over here tonight. Devil's Got a New Disguise. It's an Aerosmith song on the 2006. The very best of Aerosmith of the same name, Devil's Got a New Disguise. It's not that awesome of a song, but I like Aerosmith, so I put it on there. I don't have any history behind it, though.
You and your Aerosmith.
I love them.
Aerosmith. I think, okay. Let's talk about some comments from all y'all out there. Sean King says, Master's Apprentice by Opeth.
I know that one, yeah.
Here's one that, like, I was like, of course. To Hell with the Devil by Crash McCracken. Thank you, Crash McCracken. By Stryper.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that either.
Matt Muckle said Devil Man, which I would have said too, but Brian Urso said that it's a reference to Devil Man, which is some anime character, but so what?
Whatever.
Most people don't know that.
Bill Damiano got yelled at last week, I know.
I still love that Little Devil by Michael Schenker Group. Little Devil by The Cult. Thank
Dave
you,
Dave Douglas, Brian Knapp. Buddy. I haven't seen you in a minute.
Shout at the Devil. Dave Douglas had mentioned that one as well. Brian Urso said Heaven and Hell by Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath and Number of the Beast, right?
All good.
Devil with a Blue Dress. Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels Crash. You know all the good ones, brother. Love you, man. Dan Katsura mentioned Running with the Devil. Janet Lang said The Devil's Bleeding Crown.
I don't know that.
I don't know that song. Of course, Dan Katsura also mentioned Devil Went Down to Georgetown. Great song. Georgia Town. Dancing with Mr. D. We talked about Sympathy with the Devil, but we did not talk about Dancing with Mr. D. That is a great one. The Damon is Wild by Gideon's Mob. Brian plugged his own band. It's fine.
Hey, that's cool.
That's fine. Go for it. You worked it in. I respect that. Hell's Bells. Doesn't mention the devil, I don't think, specifically. No, gonna get you, Satan get you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's hell yeah. Crash, you're right on that one, brother. Satan Serenade by Quartz Rock Band. Janny Stark, that might be a... Ashley Smash says, Dance with the Devil by Breaking Benjamin. Mm-hmm. In this case, the devil is alcohol, I got it. Goddamn Devil by Ugly Kid Joe. Jambi by Tool, Ethan E. Rock, Rochow?
I'd say Rochow.
I don't know that song.
I don't listen to Tool.
But Ethan, if you say so, brother, I'm down. I would like to add Tribute by Tenacious D. Because it is a song about them fighting the devil with this song that they come up with. You know, as they're walking down the road, and it is a... It's a little homage to the Crossroads thing and the whole thing. So I would definitely put that on here. This is Pagan Mama by Lou Lombardi Strangelove. We're going to come back and finish up here in a minute. We'll talk to you guys. Thank you guys for hanging out. Please share the podcast. Devil's Night 2019, so far, I think, is kicking ass. And now.
Shoulder
Lombardi's Strange Love. Pagan Mama. You can go to LouLombardiMusic.com. Open the show with Suwaka. Suwaka. SuwakaTribe.com. Played the little Burger Kill. You can go to BurgerKill.bandcamp.com. We're going to wrap things up with Silk Nine here in a minute. We're going to get out of here. Devil's Night. I think we had a good Devil's Night. We had a whole podcast about the devil. Not just the devil songs. We gave you a little background on the devil. We talked about why people, you know, thought rock, metal, etc. was the devil's music. The church burnings in Oslo, that didn't help, guys. Sorry. It's just like, you know, you're going to do stuff like that. You know, people are going to go, "Rip the devil's music."
And that's why he has a bad rap.
Yeah, see, it's things like that that ruined it for everybody else.
Jikes.
So our website is LoudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Check back often. Tons of cool podcasts. As well as if you want to hang out with us, we're going to go party here over in our inner circle in a minute. Lily is going to have another White Claw, whether she wants to or not. Wow. And you go to LouLombardiRocks.com. There's no mystery. You just click the thing, it goes in, there's a page, and it takes you into we have a closed Facebook group. So, and it's very cool because there's nobody's like arguing with each other. You know, people disagree, but they do it respectfully.
It's very simple.
We talk about music. It's all music all the time. Really cool people having a lot of fun. No politics, no flaming, no religion, none of that. LouLombardiRocks.com will get you in. We'll get you admission. We're going to go over there and hang out and talk a little bit probably about what the next few weeks maybe we might, ideas we might kick around for future stuff coming up.
Sweet.
I could do a podcast about the devil every week. I don't know why. That sounded bad.
Yeah,
anyway,
might
so
take that the wrong way.
Check it all out there. LouLombardiMusic.com as well as LouLombardiRocks.com. Lily V6, anything you want to say? Anything you want to add? We got any shout outs we want to do before we rock out of here for today? Or
sure. Just make sure you're listening to my show Thursdays, tomorrow, Halloween show. Hot Licks with Lily 6, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rock Rage Radio. You can download the app for free. I am doing the world premiere of the song Lightwork off of the new album Lightwork by Sub-Zero. They are a metal band from Florida, so be sure to check that out.
Also a character from the movie Running Man with Ronald Schwarzenegger.
Okay. Anyway, so check that out, and I will be going live for Vixen and Winger on Saturday because Winger's one of my other future ex-husbands. I might change the last name to Winger. We'll see. That's all.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. The Devil's Night, and we're going to go over to LouLombardiRocks.com and join in. If you're catching us in the replay, oh, my God, I totally forgot. Rock Rage Radio. Rock Rage Radio has had a little bit of an issue with their Facebook thing, so we haven't been on the Facebook thing, but we are still on the Rock Rage Radio app and channel, rockrageradio.com. But if you're listening on Rock Rage Radio, you know, this shows up a few days later, you can still go to LouLombardiRocks.com and get involved in my inner circle group where I'm constantly sharing cool videos and we're talking. Lily's in there. Everybody, you know, it's just a really good group of folks that are really passionate about great guitar rock. So check that out there. All right, guys, we're going to pop over there in a second. We're going to wrap up with the band that I believe is doing a CD release soon. I'm not allowed to say too much more than that.
Actually, we can say it now. It is going to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We are going to be emceeing for the show, Silk Nine.
Silk Nine is the band. We're going to be doing we're going to be emceeing their show.
At the Next Door Cafe in Blonox, PA. That is on it's Saturday, November 30th. Okay, there's it. Doors are 8:30. And the special guests are from Boston, Massachusetts. They are something because I can't see the freaking thing. Young Other. That's the name of the other band.
Young Other. Okay, guys. you guys can check that out. We do appreciate it. Next Door Cafe,
mm-hmm.
November 30th. Saturday, November 30th. Loudini Rock and Roll Circus Live. We'll be working with Silk Nine on their CD release. Great band, which you are going to hear now. We've played them many, many times. We've been playing Silk Nine for years on this podcast. We love these guys. But check it out. Silk Nine. I won't care. Antony, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm just, the computer's far away. It's hard to see anything. But it's, I Won't Carry You by Silk Nine. This single is out on, all these songs, by the way, are available on Spotify. And we do a Spotify playlist. All you got to do is just search Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Also, the podcast is on Spotify as well. So if you prefer to listen to that way, you can do it as well. We're on iTunes and everything, but I think most people prefer Spotify these days. I Won't Carry You, Silk Nine. Catch you guys soon. Pop over to Lombardi Rocks, and we're going to continue the party.
What did I see?
Lies.
I don't need you. I listen to voices that scream at me. Speak so true. Fall behind. I won't carry you. I won't need you if you don't care. I don't want you if you're never there. Lay in front of you to just be. You turn away.